You don't always get to decide how your life goes, but you do get to decide how you feel about
You've
it.
got mail. You've got mail.
We'll be starting in just a second. You know how it goes sometimes.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Welcome to Dorina Snitchel. May I take your order, please?
Yeah, I want... Do
you want Bill Sperm with that?
No!
Don't leave no message round her back door.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh man, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is May 11th, 2022, and it's late. I'm late to the show, and I'm sorry. It is 1908 UTC. Almost a whole third of the show is gone, and I just barely got here. What happened? Well, the short version is that someone said, hey, this utility's not working. And I looked, and sure enough, a remote web call wasn't returning the expected value. So I go to the web server, and it looks like it's running. It's not slowed down. It's not acting funny. But then I try to run the process manually, and it's complaining about not being able to fork. And I'm like, oh no, something has consumed all my handles. And you know what? You always need at least one handle to be able to handle, you know, take care of anything. And sure enough, PostFix had gone bananas and had filled up and consumed like all the possible threads that could be threads, except for my shell, my terminal shell that was already open. So we killed PostFix, fixed this problem in PostFix, restarted the service, restarted the web server, reran the process, and just like that, it was 1909 UTC. Gosh darn it. That's why they pay me, but shucks. I really wish I could have been here on time. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and launch COM. All you got to do is SSH over to SDF, type COM, then you press G for go to, and you type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, unless you're cool and you have it in your COM RC. And then you just automatically show up, and then you can be cool, like GTC 1977, and probably other people, like EPO, and Claudio M, and X1, and Stug. So, hello, welcome, I'm sorry for all the craziness, but we're here, we're live, and we are cooking with gas. There is a lot of news. It's some fun stuff, too. GTC 1977, I hope you're doing well. SMJ, if you're around, I hope you're okay. Got our big hugs and well wishes from everyone in the SDF universe. I'm glad to see you here. All right. Well, let's get going. Whoa, really? If you're in Austin, we'll have to have a beer. I can take you out if you want. I'll email you. All right. So let's get going. We'll start here the way we pretty much always start. And that, my friends, is with World News. That's right. World News. A Paraguayan anti-mafia prosecutor killed on Colombia honeymoon. Surprise, surprise. A high-profile Paraguayan prosecutor who fought against organized crime in his home country has been shot dead during his honeymoon in Colombia. Marcelo Pesci was on a beach on the idyllic tourist island of Baru when he was killed by two gunmen. Hours before the shooting, Mr. Pesci's wife had announced on Instagram that she was pregnant. Paraguayan President Mario Abdo Benitez described the shooting as a cowardly murder. His wife, journalist Claudia Aguilera, said that they were approached by two men on a private beach before her husband was shot. She said he had not received any threats. Two men attacked Marcello. They came in a small boat or on a jet ski. The truth is, I didn't see well, Miss Aguilera told the El Tiempo newspaper. One of the assailants got out, and without a word, he shot Marcello twice. One bullet hit him in the face and another in the back, she said. The Descameron Hospital, where the couple was hotel where the couple was staying, said in a statement that assassins arrived on the beach and attacked and murdered one of our guests. So, holy cow. That is wild, right? Oh, Claudio, I didn't mean it like that. There's a lot of good places to have beers and drinks and dinner in Austin. Austin has one of the highest per capita restaurants per capita in the country, which is kind of fun. We got a lot of restaurants and a lot of low-paid restaurant workers, which is a breeding ground for the arts. They say the government says we condemn in the most energetic terms this tragic occurrence and redouble our commitment in the fight against organized crime. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, this is more sadness.
That's correct.
Spiritual healer arrested for sexually abusing about 900 women in Tunisia. A Tunisian man posing as a spiritual healer has been arrested after a television report in which he admitted to tricking hundreds of women into having sex with him. According to the television report, the man who introduced himself on his Facebook page as Bolga Kolui persuaded his victims that these sexual encounters were the remedy for the problems they complained about. These remarks were secretly recorded by a journalist from a private channel, Al-Hiwar Etunsi, under the pretext of being a potential client. According to Fatma Bokataya, the spokesperson for the Ariana court in the Tunis suburb, the man, who was arrested on Tuesday, was already under investigation for his suspicious activities on social networks. In the report broadcast on Monday evening, the man who claims to have powers to exercise black magic tells the journalist that his methods have guaranteed results and that he has cured between 800 and 900 women through sexual sessions. Tonight you will sleep with me and you'll be cured 1,000%, he tells the journalist. He said it's a number of sessions for each client to cure her of the ills that haunt her. To the journalist who describes false disorders, he recommends 14 sexual sessions at a total cost of 210 dinars, which is 65 euros. So, very wild, right? One of his victims is a 25-year-old student and told the program that she had been sexually abused for 3 years by this healer. So, just really troubling and disturbing there. 8 soldiers have been killed in Togo terrorist attack. 8 soldiers have been killed and 13 wounded in an attack in northern Togo on Wednesday. This marks potentially the first deadly raid on its territory by Islamist militants who have claimed thousands of lives in neighboring countries. According to reports, the attack by heavily armed gunmen took place before dawn at an army post in the Kapinjal prefecture near the border with Burkina Faso, the government in a statement. Security analysts suspect this may be the work of a local Al-Qaeda affiliate that is based in Mali. These attacks are not news in the Sahel region of West Africa. Hundreds of attacks have been recorded in recent years. So, there you go. This is not news to the people there, but it is news to me because it was in a country that I wasn't familiar with. As we found this week, I like maps and I like knowing where places are. And Togo is a country that I thought was wild because it's come on, let's get this image pulled up. It is between Ghana and Benin, and as we learned, and Cote d'Ivoire, that Ghana is over there on the underboob. So it's kind of that same spot. Let's see if we can put this in here. All right. If you go to sdf.org/L/NS, so that's /Lima/November Sierra, or whatever you want to say, you know, like news sources or something. Anyway, if you go to that link, it will unfurl into an Encyclopedia Britannica link that should have a map of Ghana, of Togo, and show you where Togo is. And I thought that was pretty cool because there's so many countries, and it's always hard to figure out. But yeah, this is still the underboob of Africa, as we talked about yesterday. Ghana being right there, and Morocco, and all of those countries. The Canary Islands, that kind of stuff. And really, if you look at that inset map on the site, you can kind of see The Canary Islands are kind of like on the lower side, but probably like nipple level. I like that. We're gonna have to use the west coast of Africa will be the boob of Africa for a long time on news to me, I'm sure. All right. Well, there's some terror going on, or some people being freaked out in the U.S. First, shout out to Stug and Claudio M for making some good jokes and fun in Calm. Thank you for making things more fun. All right. So, Claudio M. All right. Along with much of the globe, U.S. consumers are reeling from a cost of living and supply chain crisis. One example is a shortage of baby formula caused by a constellation of factors, from rampant inflation to a massive recall over safety concerns. U.S. media outlets are sounding the alarm with dramatic emotional headlines. Miami Valley Families Desperate announced one headline on the website of a local Florida TV station. I'm currently having the worst time finding formula.
What is her nature? Where does he shine from? Broken birds move through the air. They all drink blood. When Christ smiles, his smile is broken. Holly Ivy, old dead tree. Dead, dead, dead. Holly and Ivy. Dead, 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 dead.
Did M&W take himself out? No longer streaming on port 8000. I don't think so. Am I on? I should be here. Sorry. I'm burning a DVD, but I don't think that's going to create a huge amount of problems. oh, golly. I forgot to uncheck the create disk checksum box, and it's estimating that it's going to take 39 hours to validate the disk. I may need to cancel that. Anyway, there's a shortage of formula in the United States, and 40% of brands in the U.S. use powdered milk. So that's the problem, is we're running out of milk. So, or we ran out of powdered milk. California is to decide the fate of a controversial desalination plant amid brutal drought. This is kind of a neat thing, and sometimes people bring this up a lot. Hey, X1. Bring this up. So I wanted to mention it. I think Buttstuff and I talked about desalination not too long ago. California officials are poised to decide the fate of a controversial desalination plant along its southern coast, in a vote that comes as the American West battles an increasingly perilous drought. California water use leapt 19% in March, amid one of the driest months on record. After more than a decade of debate, the California Coastal Commission on Thursday will vote on a proposal for a $1.4 billion desalination plant in Huntington Beach. As the West grows hotter and drier, the state and others in its neighborhood are seeing water supplies grow scarce. California is now facing its third consecutive year of crippling drought, with shortage spurring strict restrictions. Rising heat also means more water is needed to sustain people, ecosystems, and the state's thirsty agricultural sector. Desalination plants convert seawater into potable water have long been considered a possible solution as residents, developers, and policymakers look to capture water crashing against California shores. See you later, GTC 1977. Thanks for hanging out while you could. The Huntington Beach plant has prominent backers, including the state's governor, Dianne Feinstein, the California Chamber of Commerce, and a slew of other state and local officials. But experts say siphoning water from the sea isn't a simple answer to a complex and burgeoning crisis. They require a lot of energy to turn salt water into fresh water and have a significant impact on marine life. Critics of the plant have also argued that for all its costs, the plant won't actually make water more accessible or affordable. Desalination is intuitively appealing to the person on the street, said Dr. Gregory Price, Director of Human Rights Water Solutions, but in this case, it's going to make the water richer. If approved, the Huntington Beach plant would be California's 13th and one of the largest in the nation. The facility proposed by the project development company Poseidon Water would pump roughly 106 million gallons, or 401 million liters of seawater each day, converting it to roughly 50 million gallons of potable water. What's left over is a thick, salty brine and would be released back into the ocean. If approved, construction of the plant is scheduled for as early as 2023, and it could be up and running 3 years later. Poseidon says the project will have an impact on declining water levels across the state, though the water will only be supplied locally in Orange County. They won't be pulling water from the Colorado River or Northern California. Belgium is also in the beginning of a dry phase or a dryness. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Droughts are popping up all over the place, and it's very scary. May in Texas is often the wettest month of the year, and we have not had very much rain at all yet this year. And it has also caused we almost had a 100 degree day, like a 40 degree day not too long ago. Yeah, I'm with you, Stug. I hope this does not disrupt the Trappist breweries. All right, we got just 7 minutes to go. I'm sorry, we're probably going to skip a song today because there's just so much news. And, well, the Dubious Goals Committee is coming up at 1930 UTC, and that show has music for your eardrums to make you happy. And, of course, to hear this
get
guy.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah. Shh. Quiet down, you. All right, well, what else is going on? Bitcoin crashes through $30,000 milestone amid a crypto meltdown. Bitcoin has crashed through the $30,000 price limit kind of thing, a price thought to be a milestone as the currency is crashing. It was trading around $29,200 to $29,500, fluctuating wildly amid broader volatility in digital currencies and tech stocks. Soon after, it jumped back above $30,000, continuing a trend of hovering around that price over the last few days. It means that Bitcoin is now down almost 9% over the past day and around 23% over the last week. This is in line with much of the rest of the crypto market. Ethereum has dropped 22%, and the market as a whole has lost almost 13% in the last 24 hours. We'll see what's going on. But if you're into crypto, you already know what's going on. Just if you have any crypto bro friends, you might check on them because they may have lost a lot or almost all of their holdings. Okay, what else? No, we don't have time for this. Russia is after your personal data. I don't know if there's a lot of people on SDF who are using these profile picture apps, but I was on social media earlier today, and all of my friends had new profile photos, and they all were these cartoon-looking graphics. Well, it was a result of a Russian app that's gathering all sorts of information about citizens around the world. It offers you a free digital avatar by using facial recognition quality photographs, and then it sends them to Moscow. Tens of thousands of people have already uploaded their photos to the servers in return for the free avatar. However, many are unaware that the company behind the app, Liner Rock Investments, is based in an apartment complex overlooking the Moscow River, beside Russia's Ministry of Defense, and just 3 miles from the Red Square. Jake Moore, global cybersecurity advisor, ESET Internet Security, told Mail Online that people, that's why I don't like using Mail Online, but hey, the people have to be incredibly careful when uploading photos or personal data to a brand new website. He said the app is likely a way of capturing people's faces in high resolution, and I would question any app wanting this amount of data, especially one which is largely unheard of and based in another country. Internet users have been warned against using the free photo avatar creator because the company which developed it's based in Moscow. It is a shareholder based in Panama City, while the director is based in Russia. In 2017, a St. Petersburg-based company released FaceApp, which is that one where people were making themselves older and younger or swapping their gender. Hey, welcome, J-Lo. Thank you for tuning in. X1 says, if you can find hops, chewing on a cone is interesting. Good for the saliva. And then Stug's mom shared a post about not using the app. That's brilliant. If you remember the Face app, that was also another Russian app. According to the new app's promotional material, the world around us is fast-paced and always evolving. Why stick one profile pic on your social media? The new Profile Pic app lets you change your user image style as often as you want. By agreeing to download the app, users are willing to share their location, details about the device they're using, as well as their photographs on their social media feeds. The company's data policy is clear that we collect certain personal information that you voluntarily provide to us. We collect your name, email address, username, social network information, and other information you provide when you register. They also collect data on the user from other companies and combine it with their own dossier. They collect IP address, browser type and settings, device data, and all sorts of stuff. So just watch out. Well, we've got 3 minutes, so I'm just going to give you kind of the remaining headlines. A South Carolina man died of a heart attack while burying a woman he allegedly killed. That's right. Revenge, or karma, if you want. South Carolina man dies of a heart attack while burying a woman. Authorities were called to the home of Joseph McKinnon, age 60, for a report of an unresponsive male lying in his yard. And when they found him, they found an second dead person, 65-year-old Patricia Ruth Dent, who reportedly lived at the same address. Gunmen killed 7 Nigerian soldiers in an ambush on the army. And in Al Jazeera, had one of its very own reporters killed in Jerusalem. And basically, Shireen Abu Akleh, a veteran journalist, was shot dead while reporting on an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank. The veteran reporter was hit by a live bullet on Wednesday as she was covering an Israeli military raid in the city of Jenin. She was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead. A second Al Jazeera journalist, Ali Al-Samoudi, was also shot in the back and is in stable condition. Palestinian Authority accused Israeli forces, and Abbas described the incident as a blatant cold-blooded murder. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says it was likely that Palestinian gunfire killed her. So, neither one will accept it. And that's kind of how that goes. Neither side is going to take responsibility for that. And to close it out, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens up, see you later, Claudio M. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take it easy. And I'm not sure, DJ 10 from Berlin is in the house. Welcome, welcome. Not sure, but it seems like Peter emailed SMJ, but we've not synced yet. So we'll see what that all means soon. Air traffic controller guided descent to Boca Raton Airport in Florida after passenger radioed, "I've got a serious situation here." Passenger with no flying experience landed a plane after the pilot was incapacitated. The FAA was investigating the incident, which happened on Tuesday. It's believed the pilot may have suffered a medical emergency. FAA said 2 passengers were on board the single plane when the pilot had a medical issue. And that's all the time we got. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee. Give SMJ some plus pluses. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It'll be a pre-record tomorrow, though. All right. Bye-bye.